Parshas Chashve Rabbeim, Chashve Talmidim. It's a big schus to be able to be up here. I hope Mitzvah Shem will be able to learn something together. But a bunch of years ago, when I'm not even sure if the yeshiva started. It could be it was Rabbi Center's Shir in the Mir. But we had the schuss of going to Kiryat Sefer / Moshav Matis Yo. Doylan's been there a few times. And we had the schuss of Rav Reuven Hexter. He came and spoke to us. I think it was Friday night at the Oynik. And he said a couple of maislach. You know, he came in, he looked like yeshivish. And he's the mashkiach of Mir Brachfeld, tremendous tzaddik, and someone that's had a lot of shimush talmidei chachamim. And when we first saw him, we weren't like a little bit nervous, like. And he said a couple of stories which I have not forgotten, and I'd like to share a little bit with you. He said that one time Doylam was in Lezhensk a few times. So he said that once upon a time, a bunch of years, many, many years, close to about 70, 80 years after Rebbe Elimelech passed away, one of the great Hasidic Rebbes, I think one of the, I'm not going to say names, I think it was Bava, but I'm not sure about that. And he came to Lezhensk. He wanted to know if there was anyone in Lezhensk who was still alive that had the schus of seeing Rebbe Elimelech. And they went around looking for, you know, the older people in Stutt. They found a guy. They found a guy like in his 90s. And they brought him to the Rebbe. And he said, "Tell me, I heard that one time you were Zeiche, you saw Rebbe Elimelech. You grew up with him. Like, what was it like?" He said, "To tell you the truth, I lived in Lezhensk. I only saw him once. I only had a connection one time with Rebbe Elimelech." He said, tell me what happened. He said, "Well, you know, we were a bunch of wagon drivers. I was one of the schnook kids who worked with the wagon drivers. And once upon a time, we woke up in the morning, we came there, and all our horses were gone. Someone had taken the horses off the wagons. This is our Panosa Pashat. And we were very distraught. We didn't know what to do. We started doing investigations. Nothing came up. So one of the chevra was like, you know, we have a great tzaddik in the neighborhood. Let's go to Rebbe Elimelech, let's ask him. We weren't so chassidish, so, you know, we didn't really. But, you know, it's our panasa, so you become a chassid when it costs money." So we went to Rebbe Elimelech. Rebbe Elimelech closed his eyes. He takes out a piece of paper. And he shows us, this is a town. This is the town, one town over from here. He draws some lines of some streets. He says that all the way in the back of the town, the last street over there, you go over there, you'll find the horses. So the Rebbe said, "Sunu, what happened?" He said, "We went there and the horses were there." So what are you talking about? He said, "Listen, Rebbe Elimelech was a big tzaddik, so Mestame, he wasn't the guy that stole it, but he for sure had something to do with it." And Rav Hexter told us this maisa. He said, I had a friend. I had a chaver. He said that he grew up, Rav Hexter was in yeshiva in Lakewood at the time of Rav Nosson Vachfeigel Zatzal. He got very close to the Mashkiach of Lakewood. And he said, "I had a friend who I always begged him, why didn't you go over one Friday night, go to a meal by a tzaddik, chaperein?" And he said, after a lot of coaxing, so finally I got him to go. And he comes back. I said, "Nu, how was the meal?" He said, "He eats the fish with his hands." And Reuven said, "I was so distraught. There's so much godless you could see washing a tzaddik. And the only thing he came back with was that he saw that the tzaddik ate the fish with his hands." He said that when Reb Nosson would make Kiddush, every time he said the Shem Hashem, he would shake so much that when he was done with Vayichulu and he started the bracha of Borei Pri HaGafen, and he had to fill up his cup again. This guy didn't see any of that. All he saw was the fish with the hands. We'll get back to that. We start off the parsha. The parsha starts off, Zeis chukas ha-toyro. Asher tzivu Hashem lemar dabro b'nei Yisrael v'yichu elecho para aduma t'mimo. So Rashi says, what's pshat Zeis chukas ha-toyro? Lufisha asotin v'umas ha-oilo meinim es Yisrael loymar ma ha-mitzvah ha-zois ma tam yesh bo. The Satan, the Umas Olam, they're trepering Klal Yisrael. They're saying, what's the purpose of this mitzvah? Lefikach kosev b'chukah. That's why the Torah introduces Zois Chukas HaTorah. Gezerah hi milfanai, ein lecha reshus lahayir achareo. You have no permission, you have no reshus to start thinking after it. Okay? Sounds intense. But then again, since when do we ever care what the goyim think about anything? If we ever cared about what the goyim think, we would not be here. We would not be learning in yeshiva. I mean, there's even Jews that think we shouldn't be in yeshiva. And we don't care about them, we're still here. So what's pshat that suddenly, like, the goyim and the satan gets a shout out? Who cares? On top of that, Rashi says, there's a nice festa Rashi after the parsha paraduma, which goes through the whole parsha paradum again from Moshe Adarshan. And Rashi says a lashon paraduma mashal leben shivcha. It's, you could say, a mashal similar to a ben shivcha. Shatinef pelotin shel melech. So you have a shivcha, you have a maidservant who's working in the palace of the king, and one day she brings her kid to work and he makes a huge mess in the palace. Won't go into details. He got a shtickle drunk, whatever. Friday night. And Lamaisa, he made a mess. So what happens the next day? They're not going to fire the maidservant. I'm saying she's been there for years. She does a great job. Tova imoy usakanea chatzoya. So we tell the mother, it's Friday night, it's late. Come and clean up your kid's mess. We're not going to fire you, but clean your kid's mess. Kach tovei para, so too the paraduma comes, usechaper al ha'egel. The paraduma is mechaper on the egel. So you have an egel. The egel was what Klal Yisrael built in the midbar. That was a big mistake. That was a Friday getting drunk early. And now the mother has to come. The paraduma is the kapara for that, and she's coming to be a mechaper on the Egel Hazov. So we have a reason. What's Ein Rishus Lahayir Achareha? Rav Moshe Adarshan said the reason. Chazal was a darshan v'yichu elecho. It's a lashon of you should take for you. That even though we don't understand the reason, Chazal say, but to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem is going to tell you the reason. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu the reason. There's even a chazal, I didn't get a chance to look this up, but the Ksav Sofer, if I remember correct, quotes that there was a Rabbi Eliezer, and he worked out the reason. And the Gemara says it made sense because he was a descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu, so he was shaykh to understanding it. What does that mean? If there is a reason, and we're not supposed to understand it, so why is Moshe shaykh that he does understand it? The parsha right after Paraduma, we have Misas Miriam. Rashi says that Tamasha Miriam, Lama Nismacha Misas Miriam, the Parshas Paraduma, Loi Malacha, Ma Karbonais Mechaprim, just like Karbonais Mechaper, Af Misas Tzadikim Mechaperes. So to the Misa of Tzadikim is also Mechaper. So we have Paraduma. Paraduma is similar to a carbon in some sort of ways. Shechted, it's burnt. And just like it's mechaper, so too we have Misas Miriam right afterwards to show that the Misa of a tzaddik or a tzaddikas is also mechaper for Klal Yisrael. A little bit interesting. First of all, why is that? And second of all, out of all the karbonos that we're comparing, like when a tzaddik snifter, so it's like a carbon, Klal Yisrael's being makriv something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're comparing that not to a real carbon, but to par aduma. Why didn't we put it maybe after the oila, the chattis? Why are we mentioning this dafka after the para aduma? The Olam's holding in Kedushin. It's Hashem. Kedushin Lamed Aleph. We have a famous story with the Inyanim of Kibud Av Va'Em. So the Gemara brings down, Tz'uru, come and learn, come and see from a guy who lived in Ashkelon how to do Kibud Av Va'Em properly. Famous story of Dama ben Asina. And one time the Chachamim came, they needed to buy. He had one of the special stones for Shevet Binyamin on the Chayshin. They lost the stone and he had a stone. They wanted to buy from him. Problem was that it was in the box that was, Taisa says, under his father's feet, and the key was under the pillow. So he didn't want to wake up his father. And they offered him a lot of money and he refused. A year later, he's zeicha to have a parah aduma born to his flock. And when Chazal come, the Chachamim come and they want to buy it, so he says, you know, I know that this is schar for that, so I'm not going to charge you more than I planned, even though I know I could get a lot more. Ask the guy in Lakewood, right? So, what's pshat? What's pshat that for the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'Em, Dama ben Asina is zeicha that a year later, he has a parah aduma? He could have just got, you know, a windfall of cash. Why did Hashem make it that it came dafka through the parah aduma? The Ksav Sefer explains that when Klai Yisrael went in the Midbar and they did the Egel, so you have to think about it. The Emes Yaakov also goes through this. He says, you have to chap, Klai Yisrael and Mamish, they hit a tremendous, tremendous low. Here they are in the Midbar, they've been counting, they've been waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu, and suddenly he's gone. He was supposed to come back today. He's not coming back. If there was a yekka, Mestama Moshe was a yekka. And they're waiting, and they're getting desperate. And the Emes Yaakov explains that they knew that the man in the desert was Beschus Moshe. So that means tomorrow morning, we're all waking up, and there's no man. We're starving to death. And forget about us. What about our kids? Our animals? So Klai Yisrael were on the verge of desperation. It wasn't Stam that they were just like, whoa, we need Moshe. But they were very scared. They panicked, and at that moment, they made an egel. The Maral explains that the egel is keneged on Kisei HaKovod. You have the face of an Adam. Moshe was an Adam Hashalem. Keneged that, you have on the other side, you have a shor. So they made some sort of rep. I don't know, but it was something to do with that. We're trying to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this was, again, out of desperation. Rabbi Rucham, I heard this from Rabbi Elephant. I didn't see it inside. Rabbi Elephant Shlita from the Mir. He said that, what's pshat? Klal Yisrael were desperate. What do you expect from them? And Rabbi Rucham says, he brings down by Avram Avinu, when he's walking to that Akedah, Avram sees a huge lake in front of him. So, you know, he doesn't know what to do. He just walks in. And slowly it goes higher and it's getting higher and higher until he cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why didn't he walk around the lake? So it's in the way, so go around. He chapped that if you go around, there'll be another lake over there. And then there'll be another lake after that. Because he realized, I'm going to do something great. And when you're going to do something great, the Satan's coming. He's going to be there also. So the only way you could combat that is if you take him on head on. But you got to know you're doing something great right now. If you think, I'm just chilling, so then yeah, whatever. Why would the Satan come? The Baal Tanya writes that we should take tremendous chizuk from the fact that every single Shemoneh Esrei we daven, I don't know if he says mamish these words, but very similar, that every single... We have such trouble focusing. We're always like, we're everywhere. If you want to go on a trip, daven Shemoneh Esrei. And what's pshat? He says that if the Satan didn't think our tefillah was important, he wouldn't bother us. If you have good kavana one day, you should be nervous. But pshat is, he's fighting so hard, that must mean that there's something so huge going on over here. We're doing something big. So guess what happens when you're doing something big? Satan came. He's joining the party. Because he doesn't want us to do great things. And Mamela, anytime we're doing something great, he's going to be there. We just have to realize. If you realize, then you could take him on. That's every single day, guys. first Seder, second day, second Seder, Shachris, Mincha, you ever feel like it's hard to come? That's because Satan's there. That's because, like the Mashkiach Shlita says, we're earthmen. We like to be in the earth. Adam from Adama. And Mela, the Satan's holding us down. When a person realizes that I'm doing something great, the Satan's coming, so Mamela, there's hope that we could fight. And that's what Klal Yisrael had to realize. Had they realized that standing there in the Midbar, you're doing something huge right now, you're being Mekabel the Torah, so Mamela, the Satan's going to be there, it's a whole different world. Just like Avram Avinu, he realized, we're just going to take him on because there's nothing else to do. Wherever I'm going to go, he's going to be there. Which means the only way to combat is to just do it. You do it because Hashem says to do it, and I know there's going to be a battle, and we're doing it anyway. Eshe, that's Pshat and Dom Ben Asina. Dom Ben Asina, he did Kibud Avayim, and we're learning from a guy. A guy, the Maharal explains, he has a lot of appreciation to his parents for bringing him down to this world. You know why? Because Esav wanted this world. So he has tremendous thank you to his parents for bringing him to this world. We hold that when you have a Rebbe and you have your father and one of them needs to be saved, who do you save first? You save your Rebbe. Why? Because my parents brought me into this world, my Rebbe's bringing me to Olam Haba, we're living for the next world. So Memela, a guy, has a special appreciation to his parents because they brought him to this world. We, when we do the mitzvah of Kivud Avayim, we're not doing it dafka because our parents brought us into this world. I think I heard it from Reb Zevlev, but it's in the Luchos in Parshas Vayeschanan, and the second time we have the mention of the Aseres Adibrois. So the pasuk says, "Kavod Avicha ve'asemecha ka'asher tzivisicha," like I commanded you. Rashi says over there that like I commanded you was in Mara, that we were commanded in Kibud Avayim in Mara, but there's also pshat that ka'asher tzivisicha is I commanded you in the desert to do Kibud Avayim. What did our parents do for us in the desert? They gave us clothing? They gave us food? They didn't do anything for us. We had everything from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And yet there's still a mitzvah to do Kibud Avayim. Why? Because Hashem commanded us. So he did it because to him that made a lot of sense. There was a lot of logic involved. We do Kibud Avayim for the same reason we do Parah Aduma, which is because Hashem commanded us. Not because of any other reason. And Mamela, in Mara, Klal Yisrael were commanded with Parah Aduma, and they were also commanded with Kibud Avayim, because a Chayk and a Mishpat, it's all the same to us. We do it because Hashem told us. Going back a bunch of years, Rabbi Kiva Eger, I think, was in his 70s already. He was close to 70. It was a famous printing press. They printed the Gemara called the Slatva Press, I think. Slatva? They were one of the first ones to really make the Gemara into a nice format, and they worked very hard, and they got a haskama, they got a copyright from many, many of the Gedolim at the time that no one else is allowed to print the Shas for the next 10 years. Simply because once they print it, and they're putting all that cost and effort into it, so if someone else would come up with the Shas a couple years later and they have competition, they're going to end up going bankrupt. So they got haskama from all, a lot of Gedolim of the time, and they printed a beautiful Shas, and Baruch Hashem, they did amazing. It really helped Klal Yisrael, to the extent that after 5 years, they had kamat sold every single volume. Maybe they had a couple of volumes left in storage. At that time, there was the Ram family in Vilna. We have their Shas today. And they were formatting, they were working on the Shas that they wanted to print. It was only 5 years. And the Slatva print company said, you know, we have five years left, so let's make another run. Let's print a whole new thing. To which the Vilna family tainted, you only got the copyright because you were afraid that you would go bankrupt. Kanaina Harvey sold out your whole stock. The few that you have left, we will buy our few. And we would like to print. They went to Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger paskened that the family in Vilna is right, and they have every right to print a new shas. The other family went ahead and started making machaz. There were maybe some like tier 5 level rabbanim who were, you know, saying that it's that they have a taina, and they threw in like Rabbi Kiva Eger is like already so old, he doesn't really know what's going on, and his son, like, you know, the hacker in the front over there, he's like getting involved and helping his father making decisions, and it's not really from Rabbi Kiva Eger, and that just gave them enough moral support to go ahead and print their new shas and put out letters against the other company, in which they tried to say things against Rabbi Kiva Eger also. Rabbi Kiva Eger, when he heard about it, I think he wrote a letter back crying out against, forget about me, what about the Kavod HaTorah involved? And you're knocking my son? And he went in front of an open Aron Kodesh and demanded that there should be from Shemayim that the situation should be taken care of. Not long after that, within the printing press, the Slatva printing press, they found some drunk geisha worker who had hung himself. He was depressed. And the maskilim, the people who were, you know, reform inclined, decided that, you know, these people are behind the shas, and now we have an opportunity to try and take care of them. And they reported to the Russian government that these people killed this wonderful, you know, poor guy. There was a trial that went on for a bunch of years, and the two people involved, the major printers, were sentenced. And we're not talking about nobodies over here. We're talking about great Chassidus Sheinaklach, who were involved in this printing press. And the decree from the Roman government was that these people had to run through the gauntlet. 150 Russian soldiers on each side, 125 on each side, 3 times. They had to run through while these guys had their bats and knives and everything. Not knives, but, you know, banging them away. And they had their arms tied behind them, clothes ripped off. They ran through. At one point, one of their yarmulkes fell off. He wouldn't move. And he just got rained on. I think he got blinded in one of his eyes. They went through the whole thing, and then they were sentenced to Siberia for the rest of their lives. After 10 years, I think they got out. And they were makabel that everything that happened was because they questioned Rabbi Kiva Eger. We don't have Nevuah today, but we do have a Torah, and we have our Gedolim. And sometimes we have to like have our gedolim pass away to chap, oh, he really was a gadol. And perhaps that's maybe why it's Misas Tzadikim is Mechaper. That if we would realize, we shouldn't need that. We should have, while our gedolim are alive, we should try and chaperein. And we should try and find what is the Dvar Hashem. And even when they tell us things that don't make 100% sense, we should realize this is Dogzera Da'araisa. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us. Either it's through the Torah directly, or it's through our Gedolim directly, but this is what we have to do. And it doesn't always have to make sense, but we got to do it. We should be Zeicha. Thank you.